the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace. Rasulullah, Habiballah. Rasulullah, Habiballah. Allah, our God, is the greatest. The one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best. What date is today? Today, Sunday, is the 15th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We look at chapter Yunus, verse 72. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإن توليتم فما سألتكم من أجر إن أجري إلا على الله وأمرت أن أكون من المسلمين.
And if you turn away from my advice, then no payment have I asked of you. My reward is only from Allah, and I have been commanded to be of the Muslims.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse implies that if they turn away from accepting Noah's words, he would not be at a disadvantage, for he was not after their wealth, he did not covet, so that their turning away would put him at a loss. On the contrary, their rejection would turn out to be at their own disadvantage. He emphasized that his reward for the prophetic mission and its accomplishment lay with Allah alone, and Allah the Gracious had commissioned Noah, peace be upon him, to be among those who had submitted themselves to his commandments. For indeed, the best of what the servants of Allah can practice is to obey and submit to him.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati,
Islam, religion of peace. This is topic of today's special. The Muslims greet each other by saying Salamun Alaikum. That means peace be on you. It is a much better way of the modern good morning. The ritual prayer of Islam ends on peace. When the Muslims say peace be on you and mercy and blessings of Allah. In Islam, one of the names of God is Salam. Many Muslims address him in these words after every prayer. O Allah, you are peace. From you originate peace and to you it returns. That is why the final abode which Allah has provided for the believers and to which He invites them is called Darus Salam, that means abode of peace. Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran chapter 6 verse 1-7 says, they shall have the abode of peace with their Lord. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Holy Quran mentions it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. كلما أوقدوا نارا للحرب أطفأها الله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا والله لا يحب المفسدين. Whenever they wanted to kindle the fire of war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extinguished it. ويسعون في الأرض فسادا. They, those people, want to continue their wrongdoings on the earth. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادُ. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like corruption of any kind. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran recommends people to embrace the Islamic religion wholeheartedly and out of love for peace. Another Quranic verse in this regard is in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O people who have faith. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السَّلْمِ كَافَّةً. All of you are expected to enter the realm of peace. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطَوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. You are expected not to follow Satan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Because he is your staunch enemy. In the realm of maintaining good, peaceful negotiations with the people of the book, that is, with the followers of other Abrahamic religions, other divine religions, the Holy Quran is explicit in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. O Prophet, قُلْ, O Prophet, say to other people, to the people of the book, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, تَعَالُوا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come to the word which is common between you and us. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we shouldn't worship anybody save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And we shouldn't associate anybody with him, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَتَّخِذُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Such that none of us should regard anybody else amongst the deity out of or alongside with the deityhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء. أنت في الوجدان حي, أنت للعينين ضي, أنت عند الحوض ري, أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد.
You are with today's special and amazing tips to become a better Muslim. For today, we have practice Islam as much as you can. Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him and his pure progeny, says, "He who loves my sunnah has loved me, and he who loves me will be with me in paradise." As a new Muslim, you will have trouble keeping up with prayers every day, fasting during Ramadan, and the many other practices in this religion. The struggle that we face with such a radical change in lifestyle is difficult and will take some time. Awkward moments are bound to happen. Don't fret. You are not expected to wake up at 4 a.m. every morning to pray, not prayers. If you have problems with certain practices, then gradually work yourself into the mindset of worship. A counselor once told, "How do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time." think of it as one step at a time. Pray to Allah and ask Him to make it easy for you, and the rest will come naturally. Dear friend, keeping up with your devotional practices is something that will strengthen your faith immensely. Read the Quran whenever possible. Find a collection of hadith, just as Nahjul Balagha, and read it often. You will start to feel a connection to Allah, and you will become used to Islam as a religion and a way of life.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
We start from now. Things you need to know to understand Islam. Allah is just another word for God, not a different God. Many tend to equate the word Allah with simply being an Islamic thing, but the word Allah is just the Arabic word for God. Christians in the Middle East who speak Arabic, therefore, will also use the word Allah when reading the Bible. Muslims also love Jesus and Mary. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is the final prophet in the Abrahamic religions for Muslims. But Muslims also believe in and love Jesus and Mary. Muslims think that Jesus was also a prophet before Prophet Muhammad, and there is an entire chapter in the Quran named in honor of Mother Mary.
They come and say, your religion is founded upon killing other people. Your religion, a core belief in your belief system, you Muslims believe that you have to spread the religion of Islam through killing and through violence. And they say, you see in the pamphlets and magazines and books and the news, you see they bring out some verses in the Quran, taking them out of context and saying that this is the religion of Islam. This is from your Quran. If I believe in the religion of Islam, I should be able to defend the religion of Islam. Or else, why believe? What's the point of believing? We must defend ourselves. And we defend ourselves by educating. So now, if we go to the Ahlul Bayt, and if we go to Rasulullah, we will see that all of these verses, they have a different meaning. Jihad, spreading Islam through the sword, does not exist in the religion of Islam. There's no such a thing as spreading the religion of Islam by the sword. It's not mandatory upon any Muslim to convert another person to the religion of Islam. Unlike other religions, Christianity, through the Crusades, they believe, and through missionaries today, they believe that they have to spread the religion of Christianity. We don't have that in the religion of Islam. You help someone become a Muslim, Allah will reward you. It's very good for you. But it's not wajib upon us to convert others to the religion of Islam. But the media is working and struggling and striving just to bring down the religion of Islam.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
lost and hearts frozen. From your Allah came a prophet chosen. Bless prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad ya Habib Allah, Muhammad ya Nabi Allah, Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the resurrection day, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, I stress the importance of this week we are in, a week where we as Muslims should come together, a week as we as Muslims should come as a united front under the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all believe in the Holy Prophet being the perfect man, the most impeccable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that divine guide that no other guide was able to match up to the Holy Prophet's stature and status. As we know, he was the best of prophets, the last of prophets, the prophet who all other prophets praised salah behind in that journey of Mi'raj. Yes, we might have certain differences on certain specifics, but we all accept the Holy Prophet. We all, when we want to send salam to the Holy Prophet, look towards Medina. There's no difference in that. The only difference is that, you know, there are some or a specific group of Muslims or those who claim to be Muslims who, when Muslims want to celebrate this beloved event and the birth of this beloved individual, they come up in arms. Why can you celebrate? This is a bid'ah. You know, these are individuals that we need to kind of either teach or ignore. The majority of Muslims, be they Sunni or Shia, celebrate this occasion and wish to go towards this occasion and wish to see closest with the Holy Prophet via this happy occasion, and especially during this week, which is extremely important. So, in this regard of the week of unity, or as it is termed, Hafd al-Wahda. Imam Ali alayhi salam has a tradition in which he says or gives us certain advice of how to create this unity, how to create unity amongst our communities. And obviously, as we mentioned previously, one of the biggest causes of disunity is that the differences form. You know, these differences, for example, can be about anything. And the Imam says that settling these differences, putting these differences aside, or rather, you know, making these differences a means by which the community progress, finding solutions, this type is of extreme importance, and it has a great reward, rather a great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam says that the settling or putting aside or finding solutions of problems is better, afdal, is better than all of the salahs and the namazes and the prayers that you do and the days that you fast. So we see that this community building, this building a society, this coming together, this unifying, is better than just those individual performances that a person does. It is something of great importance here, that is even better than the salah that one prays. All the salah, the hadith says all the salah. So even the wajib salahs, even the nawafil, even the compulsory and the recommended, and the fasting, there's always the holy fast of the month of Ramadan. So we see that unity and fixing the solutions in order to gain unity is of extreme importance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this week, by the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the hearts of the Muslims are united and a united front against the enemies of Islam, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Salaamu Alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The audience, stay tuned. John Davenport has said in his book, An Apology for Muhammad and the Quran, the following. The Quran, consequently, differs materially from the Bible, which, according to Qom, contains no system of theology, but is composed chiefly by narratives, descriptions, sublime effusions of devotional emotions, and much sound morality, bound together by no striking logical connections. Nor it is, like the Gospels, to be considered merely as the standard by which the religious opinions, the worship, and the practice of its followers are regulated, but it is also a political system, for on this foundation the throne itself is erected, hence every law of the state is derived, and by this authority every question of life and property is finally decided. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 73 and 74 of Surah Zumar, recited by Mahmoud Hossein Mansour.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wasiqa alladhina ittaqaw rabbahum ila al-jannati zumara. وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ قال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to verses 73 to 74 of Surah Az-Zumar by Sheikh Mahmoud Hussein Mansour. We want to analyze this recitation now and talk about the rules of tajweed that exist in these verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Verse 73, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. وَسِيقَ, the qaf in وَسِيقَ has tafkhim. We have to pronounce it with a full mouth and with the mouth opening vertically. وَسِيقَ. وسيق الذين اتقوا, again تقوا, اتقوا, تقاف as تفخيم, thickness, ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا. ربهم, the راء of ربهم has تفخيم because راء has فتحة in this word. إلى الجنة زمرا, again زمرا, راء has تفخيم. حتى إذا جاءوها, another phrase, حتى إذا, we have مد المنفصل, we have a disjunct مد, because the long vowel and the hamza are in two different words. But in the word جاءوها, we have مد المتصل, because they are in the same word. The مد, the long vowel, and the hamza are in the same word. So we have مد المتصل. For مد المنفصل, you should lengthen the مد to two, four, or five vowel counts. But for مد المتصل, you have to lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم, again, قال لهم, the mouth opens vertically because قاف is a letter of استعلاء which necessitates تفخيم. وقال لهم خزنتها, خزنتها, again, خاء is a letter of استعلاء, خزنتها. And all the other letters in this word are letters of استفال, so you have to pronounce them with ترقيق, خزنتها. We don't say خزانتها, okay? We don't give تفخيم to letters of استفال unless the letter is راء, which requires تفخيم in certain condition, under certain conditions. For example, if راء is مفخم or مفتوح, you have to pronounce it with تفخيم. سلام عليكم طبتم, طبتم. The طاء has تفخيم here, but it has the lowest level of تفخيم. طبتم. We don't say طبتم, طبتم. We don't exaggerate the تفخيم. We have to make it really low. The root of the tongue is not raised as much because the kasra causes it to be raised less. فدخلوها خالدين. فدخلوها, we have قلقلة. And خالدين, again, we have تفخيم of خاء. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا, صدقنا. And this, in these two verses, we had a lot of instances of letters of استعلاء. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض, أرض, ضاد, again the letter of استعلاء. نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين, again all the letters of استفال are after أرض. نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين. We have no letter of استعلاء in this line of this verse, so they have to be pronounced with ترقيق, every letter. And also in the word نشاء, we have مد المتصل. That's it for today's program. Inshallah, in the next episodes of Let's Recite the Quran, we will listen to other great recitations by famous reciters from all over the world. Inshallah.
كتاب الله, كتاب الله, كتاب الله.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Another one of the great verses of the Holy Quran, especially that we as followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salam should know a lot about, is the verse in Surah Ma'idah, the third verse of the Surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the perfection of the religion and the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the day of Ghadir. The verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, a very famous verse that most of us have heard many times from the members. We have read about it many times. We've been told about this many times in our madaris and our schools and our teachings. But there are two very beautiful stories regarding this verse, or that have been written in the books by our scholars. Inshallah, in this episode, we'll mention one of them, but they are very similar. The first one is written in a book known as Tara'if. Now, Tara'if basically are short maxims or stories that have a witty or sometimes have a humorous thing to them, or sometimes they have a very strong point to them. You know, it's something that, you know, should affect you. It has a lesson to it, like an anecdote. So this book, Tara'if, was written by Sayyidina Tawus, or rather, he collected it, because obviously he took stories from different places and he put it in a book. Now, Sayyidina Tawus, as most of us know, is one of the great scholars, one of the great Urafa and mystics of the Shia tradition. So in this book of his, he mentions one story, and he says that this story is even narrated in the books of our Sunni brothers and sisters, even in their siha. The siha are those books that our Sunni brothers and sisters believe to be authentic. There are six, and one of those books is known as Sahih Muslim. And he mentions that in this book, Sahih Muslim, this story or this narration is there, that a group of Jews, and the story is narrated by a person known as Tawus ibn Shihab, who narrates that a group of Jews once said to the second Khalif that if this verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, that today I have perfected for you your religion, was revealed upon us, the Jews, and we knew the day that it was revealed and everything that surrounded that particular day, we knew all of this, as of course the Muslims knew all of it. Every single sect from amongst the Jews would keep that day as a celebration, and we would celebrate it. So this is the day in which our religion was perfected. This is the day where no one else and no other religion can overcome us, can be higher than us, and so on and so forth. So this is one of the stories that is narrated regarding this verse in the book Tara'if by Sayyid ibn Tawus. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. it's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-ayn rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to begin by extending tabrikat and best wishes on this week of the viladat of the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Religion consists of a set of beliefs, rituals, and moral values. Verse number 177 of chapter 2, Al-Baqarah, summarizes this meaning of religion. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ, it is not righteousness to turn your face towards the east or the west. Rather, righteousness is that, number one, to believe in Allah, in the last day, in the angels, in the book, and the prophets. However, this is not sufficient just to believe in that sense. And that's where we come to the item two, that you have to prove that in action. And the most important thing is by giving away your wealth in charity for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the relatives, the orphans, the needy, the stranded traveler, the beggar, and for freeing the slaves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about two important rituals to establish the prayers and to pay the zakat. Prayers basically symbolizes the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and zakat symbolizes the rights of the fellow human being that they have upon us. Then we come to the moral character of a true believer, and that is, number one, to fulfill their promises when they make a promise, and the second one is to be patient in financial stress, physical distress, and in the heat of battle. And the third important quality on a moral and ethical level is that the true believers are those who are true and who guard themselves against displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse, besides the beliefs and the rituals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out three things as core moral values for Muslims. First is fulfillment of the promises that we make. Number two, patience. And number three, truthfulness. In a way, fulfilling a promise is part of being truthful. Speaking the truth is the fundamental character of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets not just as guides of His message, but also as role models for us. When the last prophet was sent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the people of Makkah to recognize his character before he starts conveying the divine message to them. So long before Islam, the people of Makkah knew the Prophet as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy person. And so these two things, As-Sadiq al-Amin, these are the core values of a true believer and a true Muslim. In the first public gathering, when the Prophet Muhammad called the people of Makkah by the hill of Safa, he actually asked them, أَرَعَيْتُكُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْلًا بِالْوَادِي بِصَفْحِ هَذَا الْجَبَلْ تُرِيدُ أَن تُغَيُّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِيَّ. O people, if I tell you that your enemies have taken positions on the other side of this hill, and they intend to attack you, would you believe me? All of them said, نعم. ما جربنا عليك كذبا وما جربنا عليك إلا صدقا. All of them said, yes, we have never heard anything false from you, and we have never heard anything from you but truth. Only after getting this acknowledgement from them about his truthfulness, this is where he then started talking about the message of God, where he says, O people of Quraysh, save yourself from the hellfire. I cannot do anything for you in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I warn you of a painful torture in the hereafter. And that's where he talks about worshiping one God and abandoning idol worshiping. Those who opposed him, they used different labels against him. You know, they began by calling him Majnun, a lunatic. Then when that label didn't work, they replaced it with another one. They said he is Sha'ir, a poet. When that also didn't work, then they started saying he is Sahir, which means a sorcerer. Don't listen to him, he will bewitch you. But none of them ever said that he was a liar. And this is a great credit to the character of the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. Look at the political scene of the United States of America and its upcoming presidential election. How blatantly the leaders lie every day. Some media outlets regularly run the features of a reality check to compare the leaders' statements with the facts. A country that has science and technology, wealth and military might, yet when it comes to ethical and moral values among its leaders, its standard is very low. For example, on the issue of coronavirus, the president made a statement where he said, "We have rounded the corner, it's going away." But White House top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci has disputed the president's assertion that the U.S. is turning a corner, calling the latest statistics disturbing. The Democratic presidential candidate says that the coronavirus spikes are in red states, referring to the Republican states. But this is not true either. COVID-19 cases are rising in more than 40 U.S. states, and these include both Republican and Democratic-controlled states. More surprising are the people of such an advanced country which easily imbibe the falsehood of their leaders. It is at such moments that we remember the example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People in the West can draw as many cartoons against him as they want, but that wouldn't diminish the love that Muslims have for them in their hearts. So let me end with a message from the Prophet of Islam. He was asked once, أَيَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنُ جَبَانًا? Can a believer be a coward? And the Prophet said, "Naam, yes." Then he was asked, وَيَكُونُ بَخِيلًا? Can a believer be niggardly? He again said, "Yes, na'am." Then he was asked, "Can a mu'min, وَيَكُونُ كَذَّابًا? Can a believer be a liar?" And the Prophet said, "La, no." So let us try to live by the teachings and examples of our Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adim Alim Halim Hakim Matim شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Ocean of Dua. أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Listeners, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the importance of giving preference to the others in the prayers within the scope of Islamic traditions. We said that praying for 40 believers is one of the reasons that will cause sustenance to be showered, and this will cause the prayer to be answered for the brothers who are named and also for the one who is the supplicant. Also, numerous traditions have been reported and related from our imams regarding to give preference to the others and also pray for the absent brothers in faith. Some of the traditions regarding this were mentioned in the previous program. Imam Hussein bin Ali alayhi salam narrates from his brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam, "I saw my mother Fatima standing for prayer on Thursday night. She remained in the position of bowing and ruku' and prostration and sujood till dawn. I heard her praying for the believing men and women by their names, and she would copiously pray for them without praying for herself even a little. So I said to her, 'Oh my mother, why do not you pray for yourself the way you are praying for the others?' Fatima alayha salam said, 'My son, the neighbor comes first, then the family members. Al-jar, thumma al-dar.'"
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, wa qaruba fashahida al-najwa.
Also, Abu Umair narrated from some of his associates, when Isa bin Ayyan used to go for Hajj and then go to Arafah, he would start praying for his brothers until people left. So he was asked, "You spent your money and exhaust your body, but then you reach the place when the needs are presented before Allah, but you start praying for your brethren and forsake yourself." He replied, "I am confident of the acceptance of the prayer of the angel on my behalf, while I doubt in the prayer for myself." How beautiful this look is, dear listeners. Since we are closer to the Almighty Allah's mercy with the tongues which we have not